What is up, FIFA Tears? Hello and welcome back to the 3 Foot Tears podcast with myself, LAJS, as well as the two regular co-hosts of B-Rad and Merzgoth. How are we all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Good to hear. Bit taken off guard with the fact there's actually, surprisingly, the first topic is still shapeshifters. Team 3. This is uncharted waters. It's setting a precedent for future promos, which I'm not sure whether I like. We're used to 2 week promos now. We're finally moving to a third. I've not had any confirmations of this, but spoilers. But there may even be a team 4, which is worrying. If it's a whole month of a promo, that's, I think you jumped the shark. But we got some new cards that have come out. Some people are more excited than other ones. So let's just kick off the bat with, we've now finally got hero shapeshifters. That Shinola card people were rumouring for quite a while is now out. And he's now 98 rated as striker.
Mm-hmm.
So he's obviously worth a fortune. That's the main headline for this one. There is a couple of others, but we'll touch on that one first then. Thoughts on 98 Shinola?
I mean, it seems a bit crazy as well that it suddenly seems players are worth a lot of coins. There's been a long period of time where the most expensive card in a lot of promos was around sort of mil mark. You might have like the odd player that might be worth a couple of mil. Team of the year being probably the only exception, where obviously like so CR7's worth a very fair amount. But it's crazy to think now people are going, oh yeah, players can be worth 10 mil.
Yeah. It's like it's weird, isn't it, that like of all the promos we've had through the year, this has got to be the one where like players have been extinct for the longest period. Because like, I think, I don't know if he's changed now, but Ribery was still extinct.
Nah, he's not extinct now. I don't know what his price is. I think it's four mil, maybe.
Oh, right, because he was extinct at 4.8. So
he's
actually
still
those
4.8. The price range is now 7.8, but he's 4.8.
Right, okay, so he actually hasn't changed. He was 4.8 as a cap, and he's only really gone up. So he's gone up about 50k. So for those that are holding on to it, you haven't really made much, but at least it's not a loss, I suppose. But yeah, Ginola, yeah, I mean, everyone wanted him in foot captains. They finally get him during shapeshifters, and arguably that makes more sense, because at foot captains they were talking about it being a striker card, but now obviously the shifted position thing does make sense, and he's Premier League. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he's sitting at 7.2k, or it looks around about 7.4 as a realistic price that maybe was undercut a little bit. His stats look insane. He's 5-star, 5-star, high, medium, 6'1". Yeah, I mean, just an insane looking card. It's incredible actually to think that his other card is still really good and is down to like 67k. But this is different gravy, isn't it?
It really is. I'm trying to look up now if there's any heroes that haven't actually had a different card. In the main, you've had Lundberg, which interestingly he's got a third one. He had the normal one, he had the upgraded captains, and then also this one here. So first one with hero, three times, three specials.
Did Gomez
have... I know two heroes well. That haven't had one. It's Campos, the goalkeeper. Yep. And the Saudi striker. Those are the two that I know of that haven't had another card, whether through foot captains or this shapeshifters.
Now, I know they're not the most interesting cards as a Saudi League striker and a goalkeeper from the Mexican League, but could they have not done something interesting with them? Don't you think it would have been fun to see the goalkeeper at, say, centre mid? That'd be something funny they could have done. Instead of a third Lundberg and a third Gomez.
I get what you're saying, but actually, like, since those heroes came out, we've had the Saudi League tots. So, actually, it would make sense to have brought out a juiced-up version, a special version, so that you could actually now have, like, some hyperlinks or strong links to those players. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that, to me, probably does cement even more the possibility of a Team 4. Which, again, I'm with you. I'm a little bit like, oh, this is worrying, because if this, even at this point in the game of FIFA, is successful or as successful as EA are, you know, believed for it to be, given the price of the players right now, this maybe would set a precedent for their last run out in FIFA 23. And we could pretty much have no breaks, less promos, but you'll get them shoved down your throat for 4 weeks. And then it's just a case of, well, you know, we talk about seeing same players like repeated as it is now. You've got more chance of seeing the same players repeated in each promo if you're having to do 4 weeks of each promo. So, yeah, I don't know. That is a little bit worrying, definitely.
So I've looked at the heroes. There's also Dudek and there is Mostovoy, which Mostovoy is an interesting one. I guess Russian's the reason that they stay clear of that, if you know what I mean?
Maybe, that's my guess. Yeah, potentially, yeah. But I can see them given. I can see them given the Mexican goalie an outfield card.
Or even Dudek. I mean, be sorry, came off the line in Istanbul. He was flying forward.
And then if they're going to do that, they need to do the opposite. They need to do the Kyle Walker card. People have been calling for that for years.
And Manuel Neuer card.
Yeah.
Looking at Al Jabba, he has played for Wolves, so they could make him a Prem card if they really, really, really wanted to. Although it was only for 5 games.
No goals.
It's an option. It's an option. I also have a feeling on this whole 3 weeks, 4 weeks, running the shapeshifters. I wonder if it's a little bit of it is to do with whether EA are struggling actually to come up with something because the World Cup is in the summer. Like, I think they might have been thrown off and they're just, like, scratching their heads going, okay, what can we do? I know there's footies, but that's the other thing. Footies is coming out. Are they going to... Surely footies is right around the corner.
I mean,
you'd think.
We were talking the other day, weren't we, about our favourite months of promos and how the... it was like the start of September or certainly the end of August when the 85 times 10 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still only on the 4th of July as we record this right now. So there is another week of this to take it to the 11th. They could then go straight into footies and still do like 3 or 4 weeks of footies. And then we'd be in like the start of August to just go full send with the packs. Why not? They're going to take it all the way up to the next FIFA, aren't they?
I mean, they can do. Talking of 85 times 10, the 80 times 5's come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's like halfway there, right?
That is halfway there, yeah. So we're not far off, I don't think. But I can see them doing this and then doing 4 weeks of footies.
Thing that would be a telltale sign of Team 4 is the fact that the summer swaps SBCs get released on Friday and people are going to want to have something in packs to... for the 85, 84, 83, 82 plus packs.
Yeah. And doesn't it run until the 25th of July as well?
Yeah.
I don't have the details.
I'm not too sure on that. I think the tokens are around that. Yeah. So the SBCs might be until the beginning of August. But then you will be guaranteed to get stuff because there'll be best of impacts as well because we've still got that to come.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still looking forward to the favourite prime of the year. Foot player days.
Yeah. The summer swaps tokens in-game ends on the 25th of July.
Still got a fair while then.
Yeah. So I would say strap in, enjoy the ride, expect another team, and then we'll see what happens. Could they go to the first 5-weeker?
Let's not jump to 5 before we get to 4. Well. Jesus. Doesn't want to be just shapeshift a month. Let's go over some of the other ones we mentioned. We mentioned Gomez, Morientes, and Lundberg. Along the way, Bricken, largely forgettable player. He's got right mid card now, though, which is something. We now go on to the main team. We finally got a central Rashford card. You only have left mid cards this FIFA so far, so finally get a striker Rashford, and of course it's 1.8 mil. 5-star, 4-star. Very, very nice. Valverde at right back. I've seen some people play him there. It was in the OCM, but in the FIFA League. But I've seen Valverde play right back. So that's interesting. Interesting there. Cucurella. People complained about him not changing position, not realising that's where he plays in real life, but not actually on FIFA. It's his centre back card. He had a left mid card, but now he's finally got a left wing back card. Felipe, CDM. Not the most desirable one, but it'll do a job, I guess, at this point in FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
Sané looks very nice. 5-star, 4-star. Only 300K, which can be a surprise to any of you guys, but...
It does a little bit, but I don't see a lot of Bundesliga teams, I suppose, would be my only thing of that. But I would imagine the amount of people that got a Team of the Season Lewandowski in recent, or either Red Picks or the Team of the Season 93 plus packs. I know that's where I got mine. So. Mm.
Just comparing him and Rashford to see... I mean, Premier League's a big difference in that. 97 rated, 96 rated. Same pace. Rashford's got one more passing. Same dribbling. 4 more shooting for Rashford. I think about 7 more physical.
Okay.
They're the differences. And obviously, Prem English. German Bundesliga is still a good combo, but it's not Prem English. No. The only thing that would make it worth more than Prem English is French Ligue 1.
But I'm glad to see him get the upgrade. Like, the 2-star weak foot has always been a bit of an issue for Sané in game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, it's a problem. But people got past problems like that before, let's be honest. Let's not forget last year's flashback Robin. Being a great example of people getting past 2-star weak foot. Meanwhile, talking of people who've got left wing, well, wing cards.
Mm.
Solskjaer's SBC looks very good. Very, very good. So much so, I've actually been tempted to do it. I've yet to try him. But I'm going for the left wing version. Come on, anyone would do that version. 99 pace, 98 shooting, 94 dribbling.
He does. It
looks insane.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? The other card very, very quickly became behind the curve. So to see this sort of go the other way, where it's sort of super juiced and we'd get in most people's teams. I mean, 4-star, 4-star. Yeah, 5-star weak foot would have been nice, obviously. But it is high medium, which is quite nice. Obviously, as long as you've got a higher attack and then you have defending, then I'm happy with that. And everything, you know, 99 acceleration, 99 sprint speed, 99 position and finishing, shot power, 99. Like, there's a lot of 99 stats on here, and with the extra 99 heading accuracy, you know, like with the extra chem stars boosting those, he does look like he'll be fantastic. And yeah, I'm with you. I think looking at the cards, I think even if you wanted to maybe play him centrally, you'd probably still take the left wing card and then move him in game.
100%. The problem is they're releasing so many good looking cards, but with a limited choice of, well, limited amount of fodder until Friday, it's like who to do, who not to do, basically, at the moment. I would like to do him, but I'm holding back until at least Friday. I think he expires after Friday. If he expires before Friday, not going to do him. If he expires after Friday, I might do him, depending what I get in the fodder packs.
Objectives, which there's 2 of them. You got Bartra, who's gone from previously in football.
Striker, didn't he? Yeah.
A couple of years back, went to striker, I believe. He's gone to left wing. Centre-back to left wing is an interesting one. This card again screams like St. Juice would have. I mean, try him out. Hopefully he's better than St. Juice. Looks like a good card to play on the left wing. Or even left mid in a 3-5-2.
Yeah, it's just a shame that it's the same card again, isn't it? Like, they could have like taken anybody. It didn't have to be Bartra that they could have made into a shapeshifter card. But he does seem to be a favourite of theirs each year to bring either an SPC or an objective to.
Now, don't you understand the motto of EA? We like to recycle things.
Like to recycle players. I get it.
People talk about, you know, things that give the environment.
That
EA
is,
form recycling doesn't really do much, but pretty much everyone covered outside of Sentonze in the host of the mini receipt. I think Collier briefly. I managed to get him at an 85x5. So I'm happy in that respect. James Maddison and Gio Reyna being the other two part of said mini release. Maddison moving to right wing worth about 400k, and then Reyna worth about 185 on the
again
left.
He's another card like Bundesliga American now, like I know there's got that Adams card, is it, that Tyler Adams, but generally Like, again, I think that price just reflected in not a lot of people having Bundesliga teams right now, and having to get your strong links from Dortmund players kind of limits it a little bit. But yeah, I think the Maddison card looks really, really good. But the problem is, it's just one of those things where, because Premier League is so over sort of subscribed to in terms of players and availability, then he's just kind of like, yeah, he's not got anything different from other cards that are already in the game.
I mean, 5-star, 4-star, still on right wings, pretty decent.
Yeah.
I still think it looks like a fairly good card.
Yeah, if you definitely put him in your team or have a go. If you packed him untradeable, you wouldn't be upset, that's for sure. But I don't know if people are going to go out and spend 400k on him.
I just think that a right wing, I'd have preferred them inverted.
Yeah.
Reina, there's not an American right wing. There's Pulisic on the left, if you want that. If you really want an American winger, this is a better version of him. I'm not going to say it's not. This card's better than his Fire and Ice card. I believe it was. Yep. Worst promo. Stand by it. But Gio Reyna at right wing would have made, to me, a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. Then you could have the Dempsey card in the middle or something like that. But hey, that's just me just being nitpicky. You know, it'd be nicer if.
Yeah.
There have been some other nice cards that have come out, though, in these SBCs. I'll touch on one more before we move over to Mers. We have Trent Alexander-Arnold's flashback.
Yes. The flashback to the centre-mid shapeshifter card.
Yes, indeed. It looks like a very nice card. 500k, though. We'll set you back. 5-star skills, though. Seemingly the tag they've thrown anyone they want to charge a bit more for, though.
Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent a little bit of like the overpriced Oxlade Chamberlain SBCs they always do. It seems like the English centre mid at Liverpool always seems to be a very highly priced SBC. Even it was like the same with that Curtis Jones, wasn't it? When they had the two positions you could get with him,
The showdown you can get with him.
Yeah, the SBCs are so expensive, but yeah,
the James Milner scream card or whichever year it was. They've done it with Liverpool centimeters a lot.
Yeah. They obviously, the guy who's a Birmingham fan is maybe a Liverpool glory hunter as well.
Yes, indeed. But we now move on to an end of an era.
Well, yes, and the one and only end of an era. But the end of an era card that is 100% worth talking about right now, which is 98 rated Gareth Bale. End game material in July. 100%. Like, the stats on this card are absolutely insane.
Yeah.
He has 9 in-game stats that are 99 rated. He has a further 12 stats that are 95 plus. So that's 21 stats in total that are 95 plus. And if you stick an engine on him, you know, you're going to be laughing all the way to the end of the game with this card. I've done him so far. He does come in at a whopping 800k, 89, 88, 87, and a 84 rated squad that is for him. But I've got to say, after completing him yesterday, he is definitely 100% worth it. Especially with this stage of the game where there are some centre-backs that are like able to match him, you know, and maybe try and push him. But you still have a few people that their squads are lacking. And if you come up against those sort of people, you're laughing. Like yesterday, I was in the Shapeshifters Cup and him and Cantona. It was just literally ping a ball over the top. Gareth Bale was running through and in like about 3 of those games. And it's just like, yeah, goal. Thank you very much. But yeah, he's a very nice looking card. But 800k. I know there are some people out there that are saying it's not worth it. There are like cheaper cards out there. But for an end game card in July, and anyone who's comparing it to the 95 rated Gareth Bale card that was a season's object, level 30 objective card a couple years ago, stop doing that, mate. Like, that card you got to use for a couple of days, this card you get to use for 2 months. Don't care if that card was free. It was not free. You have to put in time and grind hard to get those cards, by the way. So, yeah. But, guys, what are you thinking of Gareth Bale? Yeah. And are you going to complete him? And if you aren't, you're Muppets.
So, I would like to do him, but he doesn't fit in my team. I've got that. I did the Carrasco, see? So, if I could hold, you know, if I could, like, if SBCs didn't expire and I could hold off and have a look, I probably would have chosen Bale, looking at them both, over Carrasco. Because I'm playing Carrasco at striker. I mean, don't get me wrong, he is incredible at striker. But, yeah, this does look like just that different bit of gravy. I was just looking at Footbin just to compare them on their, from his 95 card. Because, like, obviously, you said about the objectives card. But he has a 95, obviously, UCL Live card this year anyway, at striker. Now, the only difference being that that's 4-star, 4-star. And, obviously, then the stats on top. But I was just wanted to try and see just sort of, how many in-game stats are different, and it is 73, which surprises me in terms of I felt like it might be more, but that's because obviously he was already capped at 99 pace, and so they are stats that actually remain unchanged. His acceleration and sprint speed are actually exactly the same. His shot power and long shots were already maxed out, so they're the same. Free kick accuracy and curve, already the same. Composure, already 99. So, where they didn't leave much room to, like, bring this card in, then he probably would have had more in-game stats on top of what he has got from here. But, yeah, 5-star skill moves, 4-star weak for, looks incredible. Definitely going to want to get him, you know, in-game at striker, I think. And, I mean, Bale's always been a fairly good card in the game, hasn't he, over the years.
Oh, 100%. I loved his team of the year honorable mention, or was it honorable mention back then? The sort of deep blue team of the year that he got as an SBC back in FIFA 20.
Yeah, or were they team of the year moments? I can't remember, but yeah.
Might have been moments.
Yeah. I know what ones you're talking about, yeah.
But yeah, that card was insane for me, and I didn't even do it during team of the year. I did it when it got re-released.
Yeah.
That card was an absolute monster. So Gareth Bale always has one of those cards. He's got two of them this year. One central and one out wide.
Well, that's the thing, I suppose, wasn't it? The central one, no one really knew whether that was going to get to the levels it did. Apart from me, who predicted Real Madrid. I'll just take that one on the chin there.
You'll just take that on the chin. I'll take the 300k I gained from actually buying him. Well, this is true, match. Yeah. So don't say you're the only one.
That is true.
I'm the one that committed with my actual coins.
Yeah. I'm the one that just said it after the first leg at the PSG when they were losing, that I wouldn't be surprised. And yeah, I wasn't really surprised, but yeah, that obviously maybe people didn't think necessarily when the Man City game was the way it was that he was going to end up with this 95 card. And yeah, that is the only thing, I suppose, is having that kind of promo and then this sort of thing happening does leave not a lot of room for wiggle, and would definitely mean, I imagine, that there's no... footies 99 card coming, maybe.
You might do. You might get that. It's
Stranger things
for the MLS.
Happened. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for LA Galaxy.
No,
it happened with PSG. It happened with LAFC. It happened with
LAFC.
With PSG. Yeah. Happened with PSG. Messi. Happened with Man United. Ronaldo. So they've shown that they're willing to transfer swap players just to give them special cards. But Bale to the MLS might not be. Might not be of the same caliber.
No, but it might make him more affordable, though. To be fair,
Chiellini's going to the same team, so, and he's got a bit more wiggle room in comparison.
He has.
To his, he already has his MLS. He already has his end of era card at the same time, so it'd be a double release for them needed.
But if anyone was to get a 99 at LAFC, Chiellini would make more sense.
Yeah, I think they could do like part of footies as the transferred. Double or something, maybe. Yeah,
maybe
I could see it happening. Two players of that kind of caliber, I could see is what entices it more. I think maybe, but yeah, poor Carlos Vela. Never mind.
You'll still be playing. Don't worry.
You'll still be playing.
Been a good week
for
one, Carlos. It's just been signs instead.
But yeah. That was the only end of era car to talk about. So let's go over to the transfer talk then.
Yes, indeed. And going first on to not an end of an era, but a new era for Christian Eriksen, officially named as a Manchester United player. I think he's got some medicals and things to go through, but that does look signed, sealed and delivered. We have already touched on that, obviously, Luke's feelings and things and that, but it now is confirmed, as is Gabby Jesus to Arsenal. And again, something we've already touched on, so we don't need to go too deep into those. The one thing I have noticed as the first article on here, as a might be more exciting for Arsenal, is that they are looking to challenge in the signing of Dybala. So his contract has officially expired now. It looks like Napoli, Man United and Arsenal in the running at the moment. Now, how would you feel about that one, Merz?
It would potentially be a good signing, but I don't think he would join either us or Man United. I reckon he would go for Napoli and stay in Napoli. That would be my little prediction.
I certainly haven't ever seen much desire or anything or talk of him wanting to come to the Prem, so that makes me think that he's probably likely to stay in Italy. But you know, stranger things have happened. It depends what he wants for this part of his career. I mean, he's only 28, so he has still got a few years left in him, but does he really want to at 28 make that move to the Premier League? Probably not. I think if he'd have done it, he might have done it by now.
And the other thing is, if he stays goes for Napoli, he will be the star man there as well. I think that's what he kind of wants to be, is that like central focal point in the team, because I think that's what was partially happening before Ronaldo joined and sort of broke up that sort of like feeling inside of him, and then that affected him a little bit, because then his stats dropped a little bit when
I think
Ronaldo
that's part
joined.
Of the reason that he might join them, honestly, because Ronaldo's looking like he's on his way out the door of United, or at least he's requested it, so that could be his move to the Premier League secured that way.
I mean, that looks all but done, doesn't it? I mean, I've seen a team, sort of like a team sheet lineup thing for Manchester United this coming season, and he's not featured on there.
No, he's been told to go on pre-season tour with them.
He's
so,
been told. Yeah. Now, well, he's not featured on their main lineups the way they're looking for this year. So, as forwards, they had their like forward midfielder, defender, goalkeeper breakdown, and he wasn't listed. So that makes me think that even if he's gone, maybe to keep up training, maybe to keep up fitness levels and things in the off-season, it doesn't look like his future is at Man United. And it's always interesting to see where he goes, but obviously it is very, very late in Ronaldo's career now. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him just maybe move back to wherever he's going to start settling down a little bit. Wouldn't even be surprised to see him back in Portugal, if I'm honest.
He has said that he wanted to end his career at Sporting Lisbon in some physical form.
Which makes sense, doesn't it, really? It does make sense.
It's whether that's now or whether he's going to go somewhere else first.
Yeah. But then the next article is also Arsenal-related and says about you potentially trying to re-sign Serge Gnabry.
Hey! I'll take that! Gnabry.
I mean, you know, he's, since leaving, has kicked on pretty well, hasn't he, with Bayern Munich. Has become one of their most influential players in the last couple of seasons. He's scoring quite prolifically, even though he's played mostly out on the wing. So yeah, that would be good. I'd like to see him back in the Premier League. Bernardo Silva is saying that he is now sort of officially declared interest, that he wants to be going to Barcelona. Again, I imagine that pretty much relies on the way Barcelona managed to free up some money. They still haven't officially signed De Jong, and they still haven't officially signed Lewandowski yet. Apparently it does say here they've agreed with Man United a fee now for Frankie De Jong. But there's still add-ons, personal terms to all be negotiated. And we know that that can change things. If a player doesn't feel like he's getting what he deserves, then sometimes they're happy to sit on the bench. Juventus are completing the signing of Paul Pogba and Di Maria next week. So, I mean, free signings. That's not bad, is it?
No, it's not surprising either. Juve love free signings.
That's very much the sort of like style of transfer business.
Yeah.
Aside from that, all buying rival players.
I don't think it's a bad move for either of them. Like, I don't really see too much of PSG and that league anyway. But you know, I always get the impression that the Italian league is like a kind of lesser sort of paced league where people can like. No, I wouldn't say. I feel like it just suits a Paul Pogba. Like, they can sort of control the game a little bit. They don't have to expel too much energy. And I feel like he could become sort of very settled in his role at PSG. Whereas I think maybe he was felt like he maybe probably had to do a little bit too much work or work a lot harder than he was willing to do so in the Premier League back when he came back to Man United. I've always thought he's one of them players that, like, when he's really up for it, he's one of the best midfielders in the world. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen more than his laziness cuts in. We've then got on there, Chelsea are making progress in their attempt to sign Matthias De Ligt after Juve have softened their stance on the price. Now, obviously, we talked about this briefly in the sense that Chelsea were losing all their defenders and there was going to have to be some signings made, and then it was potentially going to be like two or maybe three defenders going into their starting 11 to have to gel very quickly in pre-season. Matthias De Ligt, I mean, he's only 22. Seems crazy, doesn't it? Like, we've been talking about this guy for like a few years at Ajax before he then made his way to Juventus, and now it looks like he might be on the move again to Chelsea. Any thoughts on that? Do you think he's a good signing? Do you think that you'd like to see him at your prospective teams?
I mean, I'd love to see him at Tottenham, but it's just something I don't see happening. We need a centre-back. We're clearly in for Clement Longley on loan as our left-sided centre-back now. We've sort of made our line in the sand on that one. De Ligt, you say he's been around for ages. Yeah, I think he was on the scene as early as 2017 or 18 as an 18-year-old captain when they came up against United in the Europa League final.
That's mad, isn't that. It?
That's mental. Like, he's club captain in a European Cup final, aged 18 or 19, something along those lines. It was ludicrous. I think he'd be a good signing. I've seen a few mistakes from him. That was the ones I remember was mainly during the Ronaldo Juve period. It was when they got knocked out the Champions League, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was a bit of an issue there, but I'm not going to hold that against him. I think he'd still be a very good signing for Chelsea, and they desperately need centre-back, so I think it works for both parties.
Now, the interesting situation with Chiellini having left Juventus, as far as I'm aware, Bonucci and De Ligt, and bear in mind, Bonucci on his own right is quite getting on a little bit.
Yeah.
If they sell De Ligt, they have to go out and buy some centre-backs, because I don't think they've signed any centre-backs this summer. So who would be the centre-backs if they get rid of De Ligt? Bonucci and who?
It's not even Demirel anymore, because Demirel, I think, has gone to Atalanta, if I remember rightly. So
One name I'd put out there, because he's been linked with other clubs, and bearing in mind that it sounds like one player from his team is potentially going there, would be Koulibaly. I wouldn't be surprised to see that move as like a bit of a, I don't know, not a sweetener to Dybala, because obviously Dybala's free agent now anyway. But I just think I could see that happening if they're going to offload him, and I don't see that any again desire from Koulibaly to want to necessarily come to the Prem. It just seems a bit sought after by Premier League teams. That wouldn't surprise me, and again, I think that would be a very good signing. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, they've obviously, if they do suddenly get rid of him, then they're another team that again look like they've got to almost overhaul nearly their whole defence, which I think is always really dangerous, really, really dangerous. Chelsea also expect to agree to offload Hakim Ziyech to AC Milan, so he looks inward bound to the Serie A as well. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, he is getting on a little bit now. He's 29 years old. Obviously, they signed him a bit later in his career. But, you know, he's been all right. He hasn't set the Premier League alight, but he's also, at the same time, not been bad, has he?
But he's also injury prone as well. That is the other problem with Ziyech.
He's injury prone. He's got a wonderful left foot.
Yeah.
It feels like he only turns up against Tottenham, honestly. But, yeah, he's not been what Chelsea expected him to be.
No.
They expected him to be the ready-made product. I think he was 26, 27 when he joined.
Yeah, 27.
And he's just not. He's just not been there. He's not been at the level. People always ask the question when he was at Ajax for so many years, why is no one taking a gamble on this guy?
Yeah.
And I think Chelsea have found out why they haven't taken a gamble on this guy. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. After talking about this future prospect last week, it looks like he's now turned his eyes towards a different team. It looks like Jesse Lingard is Everton bound instead of West Ham bound. Now, bearing in mind
Dele Alli's career.
Well, the thing is, so bearing in mind now that going on to like another player as well. So one of the biggest stories and news of this week being Richarlison to Spurs, mm-hmm. Which is arguably, like, given their season and given where they finished and their struggle right towards the end, where Richarlison pretty much played, as big a part as anybody in stopping them from getting relegated. Like, mm-hmm. Does it seem like a really good move to be going for an Everton rather than a West Ham? I feel like unless Everton do something drastic right now, they could still be in trouble next year.
I think they are in trouble for next year. I don't see what they can do to fix that immediately. As you say, they're losing Richarlison. They're losing. Well, there was links to losing Gordon, but not materialising at the moment. Which Gordon, I think the trio of Gordon, Pickford, and Richarlison were the reasons they stayed up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like I said about Gordon, he reminded me of Milner. He just never stopped working for them. Even the position they were in, he was going to do his best to try and keep them afloat. So I just find that a little bit strange. I think it's probably not. It might, to be fair, it might not be his choice. It might be that, you know, West Ham have decided that, as well as he did for them in the little spell that he was there, that maybe where their position is as a club now, they probably don't need a player of his caliber. They're probably looking to improve on someone like him rather than get him. But who knows? I mean, yeah, let's go for it. Richarlison, Spurs. It seems like a lot of money, but what do you think?
It's either really, really good backup signing for Tottenham, because we need backup. Let's not pretend otherwise. That's the Kane backup we've been kidding for years. Yeah. Best thing since Fernando Llorente. And maybe even before then. But if it's to replace Kulusevski, I'm not sure.
Is that what you think is possible?
Well, Son's not going to get replaced for this. Kane's not getting replaced for this.
No.
It's either a Kane backup or it's Kulusevski's going to be on the bench, which I'm not too
pleased
if that happens.
Yeah,
Kulusevski's had a great. People have been lauding up as possible transfer of the season. If people were naming Diaz in that question, people were naming, in the same vein, Kulusevski.
He's got to be up there, isn't he?
Yeah. If he gets replaced by Richarlison. Yeah. I think it's $60 million for a well-versed backup, one that can play striker, one can play right wing, things along that vein, which people would think, oh, that's Spurs trying to get into that conversation of City, Liverpool. I don't think they'll do it, but it would be a way into that conversation.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, see if it is Conte trying to. Because we've not made Kulusevski permanent yet, I don't believe, as well. So,
no.
Maybe it's a sort of just in case on that front.
A backup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a shame because, like, we've said it before about other, like, high-caliber players, because let's face it, like, Kulusevski wasn't a high-caliber player for Juventus, but, you know, he was on the radar of some people. And you then think, well, he's one of those that he did come to the Premier League, and actually he did hit the ground running, and not a lot of people do that in that league, especially coming into it so late on as well. Like, it's not like he started the season. So I think that would be a massive shame if they get him and bench him, or if he doesn't continue to kick on for you guys in the Premier League, because I think he proved that he can do it, and as a full season, I'd like to see just quite the stats and figures that he could actually produce for you. I think would be incredible, because we already got it on the one side, on the other side with Son. Imagine if you got it from both sides, you know. It could be pretty formidable going forward. I think they've always been pretty formidable going forward anyway, to be fair. Like you say, maybe a centre-back is needed, but Romero, you know, is solid. And, yeah, anyone to partner alongside him that's of that level would be brilliant. Looks like there's some other things in here that aren't too kind of confirmed, but Newcastle, Chelsea and Albania forward Broja on their short list of striker targets. That is obviously because of Lukaku obviously going back towards Inter. Contract talks from Newcastle are being discussed with Callum Wilson, and apparently they are also looking at Moussa Diaby from Bayer Leverkusen, although the price tag slapped on that is 50 million.
That would be buying the league right there.
Yeah, that would definitely be buying the league right there. I mean, I think was it 42 for
Botman?
42 for Gramares, we said.
I think so. Joelinton's Joelinton's still the one.
Which actually is, you know, in hindsight of what they obviously wanted him to be back then, he's now actually a very good centre mid. But yeah, probably not what they initially planned for him. But yeah, Moussa Diaby would then probably make him one of their sort of top signings. I don't really... Oh, the other big one, obviously, but we did again touch on it and discuss like our thoughts, and I think it's a case for me that time will tell and I need to see what it's going to be like, is the confirmation that Calvin Phillips has in fact signed with Man City for £45 million.
Mm-hmm. Yes, through today. 6-year deal.
Yes.
You didn't hear about many of them.
Yep. A couple of other little mentions. So Dean Henderson, Manchester United to Forest on loan. I think they've got themselves a good keeper there. James Tarkowski from Burnley to Everton.
On a free. It's very nice.
For free. Not bad at all. Other than that, not a lot. And not a lot, to be fair, looks abroad either. Anana's obviously gone. And officially now signed as an Inter Milan player. Moussa Sissoko has gone to Nantes. Mkhitaryan's gone to Inter Milan on a free. So yeah, a lot of free transfer business, it seems like, in the sort of European side of football. Christensen officially confirmed official Chelsea to Barcelona on a free. Franck Kessié, the other one that was confirmed today, on Barcelona on a free as well. So yeah, some very, very shrewd business going on in European football.
Post-pandemic football for you in some ways. Because the loss of income during that sort of period of time has meant clubs don't really have as much to spend, apart from like the super clubs.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a shame what we're seeing happening with Barcelona, isn't it? But, you know, I'm sure it won't... They'll get back to, you know, being able to do business the way they would want to at some point. It's just, it takes time for them.
It's what happens when you give one player a big wage packet, and the wage bill as a whole as well was a mighty proportion of the revenue.
Yeah.
It was unsustainable, and now they're paying for it.
And they're going to pay for it long term.
Yeah,
with those TV rights and
the merchandising revenue as well. Yeah,
I think it's sheer lunacy.
It is. I think it's only for 5 years as well. So, but 5 years is quite a long time in football terms. What, the revenue
stuff? I thought it was 20. I thought it was something long. I thought it was like proper long.
From the video I saw, it said, I'm pretty sure it said five. I might be wrong. But I thought it said five.
As may I.
But yeah. Any other transfer news?
No, I think we're pretty much done.
I think we're all transferred out.
Transferred out and Q&A time. Right. Yeah. London has asked a very intriguing question, shall we say. He's asked, most important position in football. I don't know whether he's talking about
FIFA.
In football. He's not saying FIFA, football. So, okay. I don't know whether he's just specifically talking about the starting 11 on a pitch, or whether we could broaden it to like manager, managing director, owner, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
I think that is makes it such a broad, like, very well discussed conversation. But I take it. Shall we say we exclude goalies from this?
I mean, yeah, that was my default answer. I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
Yeah, because like you know, anyone can shoot from their own half into an empty goal. So,
mm-hmm.
if we say we're excluding that.
Then I think I know my answer.
I'm not going to go for the super obvious. I think teams need a decent centre back, a centre half, a commander on the pitch.
Mhm. Okay. What are you going to class as the super obvious? I'm interested.
Striker.
Okay. Well, that's not my one either. I am thinking holding midfield.
Yeah, I was toyed. Not going to lie, between that. You're toyed
between
centre
three.
Back.
It would have been striker.
Well, no, a striker. I just think because it's just that thing of everybody loves a striker, don't they? Everybody loves a goal scorer. But really, in terms of the importance on the field, I don't think they do sort of pale in comparison to a good centre back or a good central defensive midfielder. So, yeah, that wouldn't be nowhere near in the running. And I was torn if I was going to say one of the two, it would have been CDM or centre back, and I just went for centre back.
I think centre back's got a very good argument for it, in the sense that if you look at Liverpool as an example, look what Van Dijk's done to that team.
Yes,
is the sort of argument you could take.
Yeah,
but also if you in my sort of eyes, if you look at what United have been missing for so long, they've had all the potential and everything, but they've been missing that holding midfielder.
Yeah,
to enable players. It's if you have a good holding midfielder, they can control the play of the game.
Yeah.
Or a box. I think we'll word it box to box rather than holding as such, just to broaden it a little bit, so you can include likes of, say, Steven Gerrard in that role, rather than just an out and out CDM like Makélélé or someone.
Yeah.
So I think a good box to box midfielder is crucial to a team's success.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like you know you could say that same argument of like after like the Van Dijk improving Liverpool's defence. Look how like insane their attacking then became once they got Mane and Salah on the wings. Like, you know, suddenly they're banging in goals for fun. They've got a right forward who's scoring, you know, 30 goals in a season. Like, it's, you know, there's definitely arguments. Like, when you think about differences that when you think of specific players in those positions that have made massive differences to a team. But I definitely agree that like. In terms of like commanding a game and just, their influence on the pitch. I think I'm with you. Centre back or for me CDM would be the two choices.
Well, it was what creates the transition, in my opinion.
I'm thinking of transition, and I'm thinking like the playmaker, like a centre mid or a cam. So you think of a lot of the greats of the game. So let's go with like Ronaldinho. Kakas and stuff like playmakers, people that are there to find the pass to open up for other players. You look at, say, Man City, for instance, Kevin De Bruyne, even when they had David Silva as well, another playmaker. Like the ability to just maybe find Aguero. I mean, Aguero being a striker again, another important player for Man City in that sort of time. The problem is every position is important, because let's face it, if you had 10 shit players and one good player, is a good player really going to make the difference?
Yeah, no, of course not.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you need to have somewhat competent players around them.
Yeah.
So,
but it does, I think definitely a good CDM centre mid or someone in the middle of that park, like they can command the game, and like you say, they can switch that transition from defence to attack very quickly, and likewise, you know, get everyone back defensively and do their duties the other way, from being on an attack to getting everyone organised into receiving an attack a lot more. So I think, yeah, definitely that's got to be the most important, somewhere in that spectrum of the pitch.
Because there's different types of CDMs that I think that I'd say. Well, there's different types of centre backs as well as ball playing. There's no nonsense, but you have the same with CDMs. You can have someone like a Kante, an engine up and down, all over the place. You can have a Roy Keane, the captain, commanding.
Yeah, the
Vieira battling.
Yeah,
you can have a Makélélé just straight up sitting, will do a job. Doesn't have anything output wise going forward, pretty much ever. I think he only scored a penalty. Could be wrong. Mm-hmm. So you've got options in that sense that I think it's the versatility of what they do that could make the CDM arguably the most important, almost in terms of adaptability.
Yeah, and how they're used by their club or for their club, yeah, definitely.
Next question comes from Roman, who's put in a screenshot in the Q&A section of a headline that Sky Sports are reporting on, which is: FIFA have confirmed that new semi-automated offside technology will be used at 2022 Qatar World Cup. And he's asking, what do you think of the new offside technology coming to the World Cup, and will it be the future of football, or will it be, bring it closer to its end? Like, what are you making of this sort of like FIFA 22-esque offside technology being brought into real world football?
So I had a look at this at the time, and I saw this separately. I didn't even know Roman had put this in the Q&A section. So it looks like there's 8 almost motion capture cameras stationed around the stadiums, and then there's obviously a tracker inside the ball. They make a 3D model of it, I believe, and then can be, quote, pinpoint accurate with what's going on. I think anything to help the referees is always a good thing, but again, they're testing out in a World Cup. It went okay last time when they tested VAR in the World Cup. That wasn't terrible at the World Cup per se, but it might be a step too far. Also, it's making the linesman pretty much obsolete, you'd think, at this stage. It feels like it's making the lino obsolete.
Pretty much, but I think you still kind of need the linesman there for like maybe the extra set of eyes to help with maybe on-field refereeing decisions. Brad, have you had a chance to see or hear about this?
No, but just hearing it, like, and generally about the offside rule, it makes me a little bit sad, because like back in the day, it was always basically you were sided with the striker because they're the ones having to try and make the run forward, yeah? So it was the situation was the benefit of the doubt was given to the strikers trying to run forward. So it shouldn't be because their fingertips are offside when they're doing a running stride just because that's the way their stride of running is, you know, and or things like that. And that is where I'm worried about this sort of thing coming in. Like, is it going to be that clear cut and we're still not going to have any discrepancy of, well, actually, this doesn't benefit the player in any way, that their fingertip is ahead or their forehead is slightly ahead, because actually, in terms of running strides, it's their feet that need to be ahead in order for it to be offside, because they're not actually technically further forward than the defender. So I'm a little bit worried that we're just getting a little bit too finicky with the details of that, and I want it to be a little bit more down to choice. Yes, I know that means that it creates you know, a little bit more greyness or mistiness amongst decisions. But I think what has been proven now, and especially this year, is even with VAR, that is still possible. There is still some fogginess. There is still some mistiness. People are still seeing things differently. Decisions are still being made wrong. So maybe it's time to think, well, it's just part and parcel of the game. So, yes, it's not always going to go in your favour. Yes, you're not always going to like it. But do we just bring a little bit more back of the human decisions just to make the game a bit... I don't know. I think it helps ignite the passion a little bit as well. I don't know. I'm undecided. I think, yeah, trialing it is a good idea. Trialing it in a World Cup, as long as it's not detrimental to anyone being knocked out or not winning when they should and things, then obviously that's, you know, that's what we'll see. That's for the use of the technology to decide.
I mean, to avoid a situation like that when it's being trialed is probably going to be hard to avoid. Like,
yeah.
If a team's, I don't know, 2-1 down and they need to get a draw to get out of the group stage and last minute of the game it's called offside, obviously that's going to be a very much talking point if yeah. it gets called offside and they don't go and score. But as for myself, I think it's the 21st century. Technology is getting brought more and more into various different things. Mm-hmm. It only makes sense that more technologies are brought into football, and I guess this is just another step in that direction. So whether people hate it or like it, it's going to be part of the game, and it's only going to get more and more different versions of technology getting brought into the game. So yeah, I mean, you just need to look up probably like the last 20 years alone, maybe even 30 years, and how much has changed, like,
oh yeah,
in terms of technology being used towards player fitness, for instance, with them being wearing monitors underneath their shirts and stuff so that they can yeah. see like what the heart rates are, how much energy they're expending and stuff like that, so that then again they can use the nutrition side of things to help them. And that's why players are nowadays way more fit than they were back then. I mean, cigarettes yeah. and lifestyle See, changes I was gonna say, and yeah. stuff like that.
Well, just, yeah. being a prime example.
Yeah, Jack Grealish being a prime example, yeah.
Yeah.
But, hey, this is again that thing, isn't it? This has been well talked about, you know, in the news, and this is a guy who's living his life, wanting to spend his money the way he wants to spend it, but he can't because social media and the internet is such a massive platform and part of life now that everyone's going to have an opinion on it. And this wasn't, you know, it wasn't there back in the days of Gaza. Can you imagine the amount of abuse he'd have gotten in today's world? My goodness. But I say, yeah, leave the poor boy alone. You know what, if he burns himself out and needs an intervention, then that's up for his family and friends to do, and his managers and coach and staff and things like that. But hey, if he manages to live his lifestyle the way he wants to in between seasons and also turn up and still play at the top of his ability, then fair play to him. If he doesn't do himself in, it's up to him how he wants to spend his money that he's earning, I suppose. But yeah, I think I'm a little bit more of the old school. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, everything's moving with technology and the game is going to move with it. I just like the fact that in a striker's brain, they're trying to make that run forward, and they shouldn't be punished because, you know, something that is insignificant in terms of the difference it makes to their stride or their running or their positioning in terms of being ahead of a defender is going to be a reason to call them offside. And I think that's a shame.
But moving on to the next question, or should I say, GH has supplied a huge list of weekly questions. Input.
Yep.
Like this week, he supplied like 4 questions. GH, right? I admire that you want to get some questions in, but we only take one per person. So I am going to go with your food-based question. So you've said, name one food that you have never tried before because you think it will be shit, but someone has told you it's well nice. For example, his gran told him that pickled eggs are really nice, but he's never tried them before. Yeah. So Okay. You got any examples? I mean, I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say offal, like liver. Loads of people like
it. I've tried liver and I don't like it. So that's why that can't be my answer.
Yeah, tried it by accident as a child once. I remember I'd always kind of said that I didn't fancy it. My mum and dad used to have like liver and onions sometimes and I'd have something else. We went on holiday to Tunisia. And I was quite young. I think I was probably only about maybe 11, 10 maybe even. And it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. And so I went up and got what I thought was steak and chips and started eating into it. And mum was like, oh, I'm surprised to see that you're eating liver. And then that was it. I was sick for the rest of the night. So, I mean, it was a placebo because obviously I was eating it and seemed to not mind when it was steak. But as soon as I found out, that was enough. I haven't ever had a feedback on it, but one food that I think I just won't like that a lot of, I suppose, to-do people have would be caviar. It's something that's always intrigued me because I'm not a massive fish fan, not unless it's battered with a bit of mushy peas and chips. And given that it's also fish eggs as well, I think probably is the other thing that put me off. So that is, but it is a one food that has intrigued me that, like, if I ever got the opportunity to try it, I definitely would. But
I legitimately can't think of anything.
A food that people eat a lot, and I imagine you guys might even eat it as well, that I haven't tried, but I just really feel by the smell and the fact that I don't tend to sway towards fish, is salmon.
Ah, salmon's really good.
Salmon's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'd never tried it. I think I've cooked it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've cooked it. I wouldn't eat it.
Now, have you had couscous?
Yes.
I'd recommend like salmon and couscous or something like that. That's quite a good like combination.
Probably not. It didn't go the way I was expecting. Salmon. I was expecting that to be, have you not tried couscous? Is what I was expecting to happen, Mez.
Well, you know, just checking, because then, like, if he's had and you're looking for something to have with the couscous, salmon's a good thing to have with it.
Fair enough.
I'm genuinely at a loss for something to think. I've had so many things. I've had crab, I've had lobster, I've had egg, I've even cooked lobster. I'm actually struggling for things to think of.
This is the thing, when you do cooking, like me and Luke especially do, like a lot of, you end up trying a lot of different things. Yeah, so, like a lot true. Of seafood. Like I've tried a lot of different things.
I love seafood.
Calamari, like that's something a lot of people.
Then, seafood. I've not tried cockles.
Okay,
that's something I haven't tried.
It definitely seems like an older generation thing. Like I remember my mum.
Or oysters.
Up, like used to always
oysters and
have
cockles
them.
Are the ones I've not had. So I think I'd want to try an oyster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fresh oysters. I mean, that's the problem. Fresh oysters is a hard thing to come by.
Yeah, very, very true. That's going to be very expensive.
Yep.
I'd probably just want to do it myself. Get some fresh oysters and shuck them.
To be fair, thinking like some of my favourite seafood, calamari, scallops, and and prawns. Or langoustines.
Scampi's so nice.
Yeah,
that's my go-to from a fish and chip shop these days. As much as I love a battered fish, or even a burger or something, depending on how I'm feeling, I do love scampi.
Yeah, I'm just not a seafood fan. Never have been. I like every now and then at Christmas time we're stretched to a prawn cocktail, but it literally has to be covered. In seafood sauce, yeah, or prawn Mary Rose, yeah.
Is it just because like the taste? What is it in particular with seafood that you don't like?
I think it's the taste. It's just for some reason it's something that doesn't really appeal to me. Like don't get me wrong, like I say, I enjoy cod from a chippy, but it is because it's battered and that I can't say. That I ever tend to have much of the cod without the batter around it. It's like, for me, it's like that's the whole thing. You know, it's not just a fish on its own. And yeah, I've tried things like I suppose they back in the day used to be called crab sticks, but I think for legal reasons had to change to seafood sticks. And my mum used to have them all the time, and that, and I tried them and just never really liked them. It's never been a flavour that's appealed to me. So yeah, anything seafood related I tend to stay away from. But I did used to, because at Christmas time it was just a thing to always like have a prawn cocktail as a starter. And then that's why I kind of just thought, well, I'll have this, but I had to literally not even really be able to not just even taste it. I had to like almost not even be able to get the texture of a prawn in my mouth.
Interesting, very interesting.
I do think like seafood is certain, like similar to like say a steak or like a lamb rack or something like that. It has to be done right to be enjoyable to eat, and I think
I get that.
That's probably the main issue. Like, if you imagine, say, like for instance, calamari, the window to get it right is so narrow, you can easily make it wrong, and then it becomes like too chewy or something like that. And then obviously, if you've then that's your first time experience, then you're like, oh, I don't like this because it's not necessarily being cooked right. So
yeah, I get that
could be partially down to the reason.
Well, if it seems so consistent across everything, I doubt it for Brad.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's not like I've had a negative experience. It is definitely more just a flavour that doesn't sit with me. I like a tuna mayo, but yeah, then a lot of people do that still don't like fish or seafood, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's actually like something that I would like to have is like fresh tuna that is raw, like in sushi or something like that.
Oh, okay, I've had it in sushi. It's nice. I do like sushi generally, whether it's sashimi, whether it's nigiri, whether it's, I can't remember the other ones, but like in the cone of seaweed, like not actual normal, sort of almost like, I can't think of, just sort, I'll call them sushi rolls is the name for them.
Yeah.
There's like a cone full of rice, and then you'll have like maybe some fried prawns in there or something. Like those are really nice.
Mm.
Although my favourite thing to get from a sushi place is a dragon roll. So that's avocado, it's possibly from time to time some wasabi, it's normally a prawn inside, so it's almost like a reverse of, I believe you have the prawn in the middle, then like some of the sushi roll, like I can't think of the words, why are the words failing me, but the wrapping, then there's the rice on the outside.
Yeah.
I believe. Really nice. Absolutely love it.
Hmm.
I don't go for sushi often, but when I do, there's now actually a Japanese takeaway in my town. So happy to see that.
Okay, it's quite niche.
It is very niche. It only got set up maybe this year, maybe late last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very happy to see it.
I mean, the closest to Japanese place for me is Wagamama. But that's not got sushi and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's like ramen and malak.
Yeah, which I don't think I've ever had proper ramen. I've had noodles, but not ramen noodles. So that'd be something else, I guess.
Udon noodles.
Very nice.
Yeah. But that is all the questions that we've got in the Q&A part. So that will be it for this week's episode. Thank you everyone that has submitted the questions. GH, calm down on the questions. You did say that any questions that don't get asked, you're going to resubmit. So don't get to a point like in a couple weeks' time you're submitting like 20 questions because we're only answering one and you're thinking of new questions. So yeah.
At that point we'd have to dedicate an entire podcast to GH's questions, which is not something we want to do.
So, yeah, I think we'll just have to in the interim period where we're when the podcast is done before FIFA 23, we get him on for a special question time with George. Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, a panel to answer his questions.
Yeah.
Maybe a courtroom.
Hey, another courtroom. Get John involved. Yeah, that is it for this week's Q&A. if you would like to submit any more questions, a link to our Discord over on our Twitter page. Link is which is in the description down below. So feel free to go over to Twitter and then join our Discord. There is also a Discord link down below as well. And feel free to submit questions. Any questions, food, sport, random stuff, gaming questions, you know, movies, TV, whatever you like, basically. Whatever tickles your fancy, as long as it can be read out on the podcast and is appropriate, is
family friendly game.
Maybe even get some Derby themed questions, hint for next week.
But yeah, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Brad and Luke, thank you for participating in the podcast as always.
Always a pleasure.
And little sneak peek for next week, we are probably going to definitely have a guest on for next week. Because one person is got pre-planned things to do. So, well, we'll see you all next week, hopefully, with our guest. Bye-bye, guys.
See you later.
Peace out.